Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and we are back for another week of our show, and we are discussing bloating again. And I know we've been covering this the last few weeks, and I just wanted to highlight another area that could be causing you this uncomfortable symptom of bloating. And we're going to dig into today's topic of why the FODMAP am I bloated? And many of you have maybe never heard of FODMAPs, but that's where we're going to go so that you have a little bit better understanding and know some solutions that you could potentially apply and just really understand that this could be a driver of why you feel bloated. So, what are FODMAPs? Really, FODMAPs are just naturally occurring sugars and fibers that are malabsorbed in the small intestines. So what does that really mean? Really, it is just even healthy foods that you eat regularly, that the fibers or starches that are naturally in these foods, they kind of ferment in your small intestines, making it super uncomfortable and creating lots of symptoms and problems. So really, FODMAPs just kind of stands for, it's just the acronym for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. And those are the types of starches or sugars that are in foods naturally that we really think nothing of. And essentially, they can kind of create this uncomfortableness that you really do struggle with bloating. So not everybody is going to be reacting to FODMAPs. Again, like we've said on some of the previous podcasts, we all experience bloating at some level during our lifetime. It is the continuous or that chronic bloating that becomes worrisome or really kind of troublesome because you're dealing with it on a daily basis. So that's forcing you to think, why? Why am I having all this bloating? Why am I struggling so much with feeling so bad? Now, each of these different fibers kind of translate into different types of food. So the common foods, of course, this does not even come close to touching, a small percentage of the foods that have these types of fermentable starches in them. But these are some of the big ones. These are the ones that people more commonly are going to react to. So you can think of wheat, barley, rye, so anything made with those. So think of crackers, think of, you know, pancakes, think of anything that have those ingredients in it. It can even be medications that have wheat in them. So keep that in mind. Apples, pears, mango, watermelon. Again, all of those are higher in these different fermentable starches, and that is what makes them so uncomfortable to your belly. Onions and garlic are really big. They're fructans, and they are really difficult to digest for somebody who has an intolerance to FODMAP foods. Honey, milk, asparagus, beans, cashews, sugar-free gum, even because of the different sugar alcohols that are in it, cauliflower, mint, and cabbage. Those are some of the top ones that people will be like, I don't necessarily feel so good. I feel kind of bloated and just heavy, and I don't feel great when I eat those, so I just don't. Maybe the reason is you have an intolerance or you have some other thing that's contributing to this intolerance of these FODMAPs that are causing the problems. So what would someone experience? So if someone was really struggling with FODMAPs, what would their symptoms be? Typically, you're going to have the bloating, you're going to have gas, abdominal pain, could be constipation, could be diarrhea, and cramping. So all of those, you might have one, you could have all of them, and you might notice that it's with food sometimes that you eat. Maybe you have, some apples and you do fine. But then the next time you have it, you have diarrhea. So the reason is that you have to think about dose dependence. So FODMAPs are very dose dependent. So it could be that you might tolerate on asparagus like 4 pieces of the tips. But you can't tolerate like 1 whole spear or 2 whole spears without feeling bloated or having diarrhea. So dosing is super important. So with a FODMAP diet, that's where it becomes kind of tricky, and you have to really work with somebody that can help you, kind of guide you, because it's not about just eliminating all these foods and never having them again. No, the goal is that you pull these foods out for a period of time, and then you give your gut a time to heal, and then you can start reintroducing them very systematically. And you pick out very specific ones, like you might pick out a fructan from the oligosaccharides, and it might be that you pick garlic, and on day one you might eat like 1/3 of a clove or something. And then the second day you do a different amount, and the third day. So it's very dependent on, the person and where you go to start and then where you move next. So, but you remove those foods for a short period of time. We're talking 2 to 6 weeks. And then we start playing with the reintroduction of those foods so that you can get a wide variety of foods back into your diet and that you can start tolerating some of these without having the diarrhea or constipation because you ate them. So that's where working with somebody who understands FODMAPs and understands how to guide you through that and what are the FODMAP foods, because again, like I said, this is nowhere even near the list of FODMAPs. There are so many different things, and you got to think about anything that's made with this. Garlic and onion is in everything. You can't buy a salsa, a pasta sauce, sometimes even frozen bags or meals. You can't even buy some of those things without onion and garlic. So that's where you have to have somebody that understands that already and who knows that and can guide you and save you a whole lot of time. And the good thing is it can get you back to feeling better so that you're not being bloated all the time or having, constipation or diarrhea frequently. So if you are having these symptoms of bloating, gas, all these different things, who do we typically see this in? What type of person would experience this? Somebody who has IBS or irritable bowel syndrome will typically have some level of intolerance to some of these FODMAP foods. SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. This is something that we use quite readily with a SIBO, as a SIBO diet, and helping you get better. You do react with SIBO. There are some practitioners that will kind of test SIBO if you don't tolerate these, or if you pull them out and you feel better, then it is a red flag that potentially you could have SIBO. Another group is inflammatory bowel disease or IBD. Those, again, think of like colitis, Crohn's, those type of inflammatory bowel things that can really cause a lot of these same symptoms, but they also can feel bad with FODMAPs and could feel better by removing them for a period of time. So that sometimes is what we utilize as a strategy to help someone get better and calm everything down so that they feel a whole lot better. So if you are struggling with bloating, you're having that belly distension, or you're having that fullness, just that uncomfortable feeling of bloating frequently, and you do recognize that certain foods, especially when it comes to vegetables and fruits and some of those healthier foods that you're trying to do better with eating, you know, after weight loss surgery, you're trying to adopt a healthy lifestyle and really eat better. So you're incorporating some of these things. Maybe you're cooking more and you're using onion and garlic, whereas before you didn't. So those little things can give you clues into why you're having this bloating. So if you are struggling with bloating and you consistently struggle with tolerance of certain foods, you might want to think about FODMAPs as being the reason why. So hopefully that has helped. Please make sure that you understand when it comes to FODMAPs, this should never be a long-term strategy. FODMAP foods cannot be eliminated forever without creating a downstream impact. By that I mean you're going to decrease the good bacteria by removing all those fibers and starches. So we have to get them back in your life. So don't just say, oh, I'm gonna follow a low FODMAP diet and you feel better and you're like, I'm good, and you just stay on it. That is the worst thing you can do. They show that the population of the good or the beneficial bacteria starts to reduce the longer you do that. So there has to be a happy medium, and you have to slowly work back into eating them, and you know, utilize somebody who understands how to incorporate low FODMAPs back into your life so that you can tolerate them again. I hope that has helped, and stay tuned for our next video, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.